You talked about advertising. They came along with a lot of these promotional items, glasses, cigarette lighters, and all that. Why did they go to that? And they were obviously a success. What?
Well, it was a success, and this is the probably the age more so that you and I grew up with drive-in theaters, drive-in restaurants. Today, people buy differently. Demographics have changed so much, but at the time, it would have been a family. So you'd put your three kids in the back seat of your 51 Chevy, 15 years old, and here you go to Sonic. Well, today, if you have grandkids, the grandkids want to go to McDonald's and have those, I'm not going to say, but anyway, they want chicken nuggets. And you can say, man, I haven't been to a McDonald's forever, but the kid wants the little toy pack. Because Sonic has, McDonald's has learned how to package their chicken nuggets with a drink, with a little bit of fries, and a toy inside of a box. And basically, you're paying a premium for that because that kid wants it. And so when I was taking care of my grandsons in Denver this last year for 9 days, while my son and granddaughter, or daughter-in-law, went to Iceland, two or three times I just had to relent. My six-year-old dragged me to McDonald's. Well, same thing. Sonic realized that we've got to sell to kids. They're not going to notice advertising in the paper. And the parents may not come in. They may want to go down to the diner. But those kids will want those little toys. And it was another way for centralized Sonic to make a little money. So they might produce 2,000 or let's say 20,000 plastic monkeys to go on the side of a glass until they discovered the kids were swallowing those. It was a safety hazard. But if you're making 20,000 of those, you're charging those franchisees maybe a penny a piece when it's costing you half a penny to make them. A little bit of profit margin in there, not a lot, but a little. And as you expand, the margin goes up. And so glasses, little plastic doodads, takeaways, promotional things that might be associated with something that time of year. And we've had pages in the book. They just have pages and pages of these giveaways. And that would remain fairly common probably well into the 21st century that finally was phased out. But it was really popular and collectible. Star Wars, you know, I can't remember when Star Wars came out. I would guess 80s, but I'd have to look back. When Star Wars came out, Sonic gets a franchise. It's one of those deals. We want to use Star Wars images on our glasses. And those are people are coming in and buying something and for an extra buck, buying a glass that maybe costs 50 cents. But they're saying, hey, this is a $3 glass with a Star Wars character on it. A little more money. Yeah. A little more money for the local manager. A little more money for centralized offices.
I hadn't thought about McDonald's happening. And McDonald's goes back to I don't know when.
In the 50s, about the same time.
All right, so it's about the same time. Now, McDonald's was not a drive-in.
It was originally.
All right. So is there... I hadn't even thought about this. Is there some competition here that Troy sees with McDonald's?
Oh, absolutely. McDonald's, the big competition for him in Oklahoma would not have been McDonald's at the time in 53 to 59. It would have been A&W. A&W had a strong series. And as Troy often said, even he made his own root beer. You could make your own root beer in those days if you had your recipe. And so you didn't have to franchise with Coca-Cola or PepsiCo or Knee-High, or whatever company it might be, you can make your own. So your profit margin on that drink of root beer for a 10-cent cup of root beer on ice, you might be making 8 cents profit. Coca-Cola, maybe 5 cents, because you're paying 3 cents franchise. And so root beer was very popular, and A&W had excellent root beer. Little town of Weatherford, where I went to college, starting in 1969, the only drive-in in town was an A&W, because I remember their hamburgers were 35 cents. So I had to save money to afford a 35-cent hamburger at the time. And that was competing with Tomei and Annie's. That was the Mark Hotel restaurant, you know, all these local places. But A&W was the real competitor in Oklahoma in the region. McDonald's was largely going into urban areas. And Sonic was not. Servin was going into towns, 5,000 to 10,000 people was their demographic. And Troy and Charlie, and then later Marvin and later Cliff, understood that was their demographic originally. So they were not expanding so much in urban areas initially. It was these small towns, especially college towns, because not only did you have the high school students who were out dragging Main Street at night wanting to see their friends, get a Cherry Coke or vanilla Dr. Pepper or whatever it might be and eat because they had cash in their pocket. Parents let them use the family car. That, and you add the college, then you're doubling your student population. So that's where they were going. McDonald's was going in to the big cities, and A&W business plan wasn't working, so they were closing. Sonic, while they were going up, some of the older ones, Dairy Queen could not really compete. Dairy Queen always had it where you walked up to the booth and ordered your, so you had to get out of your car. A lot of people like the toggle switch, order from your car. Here comes the car hop, some on skates. Good-looking young teenage girl from the community where they're working 20 hours a week. That was just a better experience. And the Sonic food was good, well-prepared. There were standards. And with the efficiencies, the owners were making money.
So they beat out A&W.
They really did. Nationally as well, starting to regionally, they did.
And today, you see an A&W every once in a while, but you see many Sonics, obviously, around today.